We're kind of going into a series on the family. We're kind of looking at when we do things once in the beginning of the month. We want to launch a different series and just talk about things that are practical and things that connect with us. And so family is one of those. I don't know whether you remember what it was like to get married. I hope you do. If you don't, then you have more problems than just what you're going to do today, that's for sure. So Elaine and I celebrated 46 years yesterday. Well, yeah. She told me that she enjoyed 22 of those. No, she's enjoyed them all. So, but I remember after we were married for about 3 or 4 years, I had a welding business, and I said to her, you know what? We're kind of secure. We kind of, you know, I had all my welding tickets, and I had my business, and I had a shop in the backyard, and I thought, I think it's time to have a family. So I said to Elaine, I think it's time to have a family, and she says, good, because I'm 3 months pregnant, and I didn't know how to tell you. and I think when you think about family, and I mean, we're so blessed. We have two kids that love us. They phoned us yesterday on our anniversary, and we have 6 grandkids that love us, and they were in on singing happy anniversary, and we just felt like rich. We totally feel rich with our kids. I remember our son, who it was exciting to see him become a father, and then he, and I mentioned this before, then he said to me, Dad, when their first was 8 years old, I haven't slept for 8 years. And I says, that's good, son, because we never slept for a few years with you either. And it's just a gift from God that you live long enough to be able to experience these wonderful things. But I think about God, and it was him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he created all these wonderful things. I mean, we're still learning about what he's created. There's cosmos that we have no idea where they are, how deep they are, how many thousands and millions upon millions of stars. Pastor Brent kind of shared some of that like last Sunday night, and it's intriguing. I don't even know how they figure this stuff out. These are people that just are brilliant people, but the beautiful pictures you get back from the Hubble telescope and some of the other telescopes that are up there are amazing. I love just looking at them. They're just fantastic. And God created all of that, and then we are here on Earth. Our scientists are trying to find out if there's other planets created like us. I'm not sure that there is, because God has a family. So after he created all this, he said, let's create these people. People didn't exist before. And so he said, let's create these people to be our family. And then he says, go and multiply. So I want to talk to you today about family. Now, there's different types of family. This is a family here. It's Richmond Pentecostal Church family. There's families that you have your direct family relationships. You have extended family, all this kind of stuff. We have visitors here from Australia who are family, and that's really exciting. And so we have these families that are all over the world. We're connected. We also have families that we work with. If Russ is in construction or somebody else might be in a different trade. And when I was a paramedic, that first responder family is mine. I still connect in with that. And so you have this family. You might be in sports and this kind of a family of, you know, a football team or just, there's just a family connection. There's communities that we fit into. And all of them are great because what they do is they accept you, they support you, and they love you. And they walk alongside you when you have difficult times. And so God created this family. And so let's take a look at that. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground. We are not one of the creatures. We're not one of the livestock. We're not one of the fowl of the air. We are not. In the scriptures, and I believe the scriptures are truth, we are created in the image of God. There isn't an animal that's created in the image of God. Now, there's lots of religions that create God type or animal type gods, but there is only one God. There's only one God, God the Father and three people and three persons, and that's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are created spiritually in His image, in their image. Don't you like that? Do you feel any kind of pushback against that lately? Yeah, you can actually be non-gender. You can be a non-existent person. You can be whatever you want. God created them, and He didn't stop creating them male and female. And Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created mankind in His own image. We have to say person kind now. In the image of God, He created them male and female. Male and female created them. This has not changed. This has not changed. And we need to understand this because our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in the Father. Our identity is in the Holy Spirit because we're in His image. And then He made a note of it. He wrote it down. It says in Isaiah 49:16, can a mother forget the infant at her breast, walk away from the baby she bore? But even if mothers forgot, I'll never forget you. Never. I will never forget you. Look, this is the Message translation. I've written your names down on the backs of my hands. What do you think of that? I like this other translator, and it'll probably irkle a few people here. I tattooed your name on the backs of my hands. I wondered kind of like on the backs of his hands, why wouldn't he put them on the palms of your hand? Because we're created in His image. He's God the Father. Jesus came, was the spitting image, and we'll talk about that. The very likeness of God. So guess what? When you stand like this, the backs of your hands are easy to read. Now, it must be pretty small print because all your names are there. I don't know. I don't think he wears bifocals, so I think he can, you know. But can you imagine that your name, your, you know, our English name, our Filipino name, our Asian name, our whatever your name is, it's not another substitute name. It's your name. Nobody else has that. Nobody's a duplicate. That's how important you are to Him. God has created us in His image, and then He said, look, I wrote it down. Not that I'm going to forget, but I want you to know that you're forever in my presence. Isn't that awesome? You know, there's people with lots of tattoos. I don't know what you think about tattoos, and we call it ink. People are like, painted up really badly or really well done or whatever. I always have this concern when we're in our 80s, what that might look like. Hey, you want to see my tattoo? I don't know. That may not work that way. I don't know. But they're telling a story. And I know that a lot of people, even in a tragedy where they've lost friends or relatives or team members or something, have tattooed their names on there. Why? Because they want to go against society and say, well, I'm going to tattoo myself anyway. No, because they want to remember. They want to remember. God started it. He actually tattooed, imprinted your name, who you are, even your image. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's how important you are in this whole creation. So he wrote it down. I have to write things down. I can meet so many people and I don't even know who they are anymore. It's a new friend every day. It's awesome. And so then he said to them in Genesis 28, verse 1, or Genesis 1, verse 28, he blessed them. Don't you like it when your family blesses you? I mean, here we have people who are baptized and family was here to support them, their close family, but also this family here to celebrate. Yesterday, there's a whole bunch of people that celebrated graduation. There's always celebrations. We're, as a country, as a family, we're celebrating this afternoon, this morning. There's going to be cake and salmon and everything cooking down in Steveston. It's really good. Next year, it'll be on Monday, so I can be there. We love it. We think it's great. Our neighbor she says, this is my favorite day of the year. So he said, I bless you. And this is the blessing. Be fruitful and increase in number. That's it. He gave us the permission to reproduce ourselves. He gave us the means of reproduction. He's the giver of life. Can you imagine that he allowed us to be part of that? He just didn't say, okay, Jim and Elaine, you guys get together and live, and I'll plunk in about 5 or 6 kids into your house, and the neighborhood will get filled with other kids. I'll just grab them out of heaven and pop them in. No, he didn't. He wanted us to understand family. And so I don't really understand what it's like to be fathered as much as I understand what it's like to be a father. Let me explain that. In my home life, it was pretty crazy, and so I didn't have that relationship with my dad. He passed away early, and, you know, but I didn't really understand what father was all about until I became one. And I tell you, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Like Lane says, we're going to have a baby, and then I thought, okay, so what do you do to be a father? Because I didn't know what it was like to be a father. And then I was able to grow into that with both our kids. And then to watch our kids, Leslie to become a mom and Dan to become a father. And I just think, what a precious thing, because it gives me a glimpse at the Father. It gives me an understanding of how much he loves us. Do you love your kids? I hope so. I really do. I hope you love your kids, no matter where they are and what's going on in their lives. I hope you love them with an everlasting love. I hope that they are in your prayers. I hope that you really care for them and you shower them with gifts and praise and encourage them. And, you know, they say, well, you shouldn't tell your kid they can do anything, because then they become kind of, narcissistic, and then they, you know, they just mess up the whole society. You know what? I think you should encourage your kid. If he's going in a certain direction, encourage them. Don't say, oh, you're so stupid, you'd never make it. That's crazy. God will never say that to you. Do you know that? He will never say, you know what? I'm so fed up with you, Caruso. Like, you're a disappointment to me. God is never disappointed with you. Do you know that? He is never disappointed. He knows you. He's got you on the backs of his hands. And he knows that you're going to go through struggles and you're going to have troubles. But he also knows that you are his kid. And there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. Nothing ever created. Because he created everything, including you. Isn't that awesome? I love that. I love putting a sermon like this together because it reminds me how beautiful the relationship I have. Not just a ticket to heaven. I had this relationship with God right now. In Romans 8, 14 to 17, it says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. I love the translation of the message. It's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting from God with childlike, hey, what's next, Papa? Some of my kids call me Papa, my grandkids. Hey, Papa. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. His Spirit touches your spirit, and no matter what else is going all around you and people are saying, he confirms that you are his. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. Isn't that a great relationship? Goes on to say, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us. I never liked that when my mom said that. You're going to get what's coming to you. And she delivered. It's an unbelievable inheritance. How many of you are waiting? You know, waiting just for that inheritance. It doesn't always come, but it comes from God. And it says an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we'll certainly go through the good times with him. So last night we had ANCF here, and Paul Fraser was speaking. He's our national representative for church multiplication. And he was speaking and he says, hey, it's going to be tough. He's talking to the grads. It's going to be tough. You hear me? It's going to be hard. But you're not going to be alone in it. You're going to get through. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about if you're going through hell, keep going. You can get through, and you're going to be stronger. I read a little article, or a little poster. It said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, except for bears. Bears kill you. So there's a bit of a pessimist there. So you got to remember that you're going to get through these things that you're going through. And you're going to do it because you're going to rely on the relationship you have with God. Romans 8, 29 says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Isn't that awesome? Now think about it. His plan is to conform you to the image of his son. How many of you feel like you measure up to that? You do. Okay? No matter what anybody's told you, no matter what you think about yourself, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. That's a whole series of sermons right there. He has called you to be conformed to the very image of God, of his son. So what does that look like? It's pretty simple. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, the character of God is this, love. God is love, right? And then joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So how do you become like Christ? You let the fruit of the Spirit come out. You need to understand that these aren't optional. Well, you know what? I really like joy and gentleness, but self-control, I am not too good at that. Forbearance, peace. You don't live in my family. Kindness. Are you kidding? Like, that's not optional. Jesus didn't come and say, you know, I'm going to be happy with these people and joy, and then I'm going to be peaceful. He was everything that we've read here. He is everything that we read there. And guess what? He's conformed you, predestined you to be like that. So what does that mean? That he has a plan, that he's made provision for you. This is part of the whole package for you to be like him. Galatians 1 and verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Wow. We're created in the image of God, and Jesus was born into this world and reflected the very image of God. So if you understand Jesus, you understand the Father. And there's all sorts of pictures, no selfies of Jesus. I always thought it was really kind of interesting because they're checking some bones out in one of these sarcophagus, that thing, you know, wooden or the clay boxes, and they go, we're doing DNA to see if this is Jesus' bones. I said, well, where are you going to get the DNA to compare with? Like, it's a hairbrush or something? Or did he spit in a tube? Is his toothbrush around? Come on. He doesn't have to have DNA to prove who he is. He is who he is. He said, I am. Right? We don't live in the world's way of proving things. We live by faith. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation. And one translation says the spitting image. I remember having a BB gun and it was the spitting image of a real gun. Now you can't have them because, you know, nobody wants guns anymore, you know. So, but I did. I had guns in my locker at school. Can you imagine that? I had a .22 Cooey, you know, the ones you can break down a single shot? I kept it in a gunny sack. Maybe somebody even know what any of that is, but just a burlap sack. I had it in my locker, and I would go out, and I can't type or speak French because I'd take those two subjects off and go rabbit hunting. And like, can you imagine? There would be Black Hawk helicopters flying over that school today. I would have been down in the dirt with handcuffs, being dragged to a police Suburban. You know, it was just a different day. It's an exact replica. Spit and image, Jesus is. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, paid the price, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's where he is. Well, he actually lives inside of us, but that's where he is. That's where he's coming from to pick up his church, pick up his bride, us, pick up his family. 1 Peter 2 says this, 13 and 17, or 13 to 17, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities at whatever level. Is that hard to do today? We need to do it. They're God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure ignorance of fools who think you're a danger to society. You want me to read that again? It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Our church, our belief system, not just the Pentecostal assemblies, but those who believe in the Judeo-Christian values are under attack. And actually, they think we're fools to even believe this way. You know what you do? Do good. How many of you get ticked off when you watch the news? I stop watching the news. I'm getting sick and tired of it. It's just like nauseating. Horrible things. Actually, there was such a horrible thing on the national news the other night that I got sick inside. I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and this just triggered me like that. And I can't watch it anymore. I can't have that visual impact in my brain. And so I need to pull away from that, but I need to pray for those people. I need to pray for those who are in authority above us, because God is the key person. He says, and as he finishes this off, Peter says this, exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Whew. That was, you know when that was written? When Rome was was destroying and killing and torturing Christians. This wasn't in the 18th century or something when there was a real move of God. This was during the time of heavy persecution. I close with this. Genesis 5, the first part of that chapter says, this is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Seth means peace. Now, I want to point out that Adam and Eve didn't have a good start. They had the best parents in the world, right? They had God the Father. They messed up. They had kids, and the first one of the kids killed the other kid right away. Like a really good family, eh? Sounds like an Italian family to me. And they just, like, this was horrible. And then Seth was born, and then it went on and on. And all through the Old Testament, you just see all this kind of stuff back and forth. And Jesus came at the right time. He came just like a baby. Well, he came as a baby, and then he grew up just like us in horrible times. But he always was in touch with the Father. He had the character of the fruit of the Spirit. He knew his authority. And he said to us, these things you shall do, and greater. Because I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you to empower you to get through this world. Isn't that exciting? You are a family. And you, some of you have family, and today you'll spend time with family, and that's really exciting. But remember that God has you tattooed to the backs of his hands. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never be alone, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now, as people are seated and they're thinking about this, it's not my preaching that does anything. It's the word of God anointed that goes out and is heard in hearts that are receptive. The most important thing, Lord, is salvation. And so I pray right now, if the Holy Spirit's moving in your life and you have not made that commitment that he becomes your Father, I mean, really, that's the separation. Unless you come to Jesus, you can't get to the Father. And if you can't get to the Father, then you're not his kid. You're separated by sin. Even though you're created in his image, you're separated by sin. So with everybody's head bowed and eyes are closed and nobody kind of looking around, I want you to let the Holy Spirit move in your heart right now for just a little time. And maybe he's already been speaking to you about that. Maybe you have never made that commitment. Today you're here and you know, just July 1st and we're celebrating. Why don't you have July 1st as your birthday when you come to know Jesus? And so if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd just like you to put your hand up. Just boldly put your hand up. And we're going to pray together, all of us. Is there anybody that would just like to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? It's a great day to do it because this is the first day of the rest of your life. It's so important to receive that gift. Maybe it's a time to come back. You've made that commitment a long, long time ago, and now you just are struggling with where you are. There's nothing more important when we gather than to hear about the love of God and give an opportunity. So, if you'd like to accept Christ, just put your hand up. If you'd like to come back to Christ, just put your hand up. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we pray right now for this congregation. This is a special day in our country. We have freedom so far, but it seems that it's being challenged. Help us to realize that the challenge is towards you, not us. We need to stay true to you, strong to you, walk in our faith, and we will make it through, and you'll get the glory. So we ask that you just bless this congregation now in the name of Jesus. Amen.